of the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument.
The Green Bay Packers
argument the way it ended, but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be close to.
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
it. No, Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel.
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
Welcome into Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. Craig Scalzo, Kyle Wallace with you this morning.
I'm not here.
Craig Karmazin here, but not really here.
We don't know
if he's here. He's technically Dance Dad right now. He's
Craig, you got to sit in the other seat. That's the co-host seat.
Today I'm officially, if you look at the schedule, I'm not on the schedule.
Yeah, but Kyle's saying the camera's set up for that seat, not for that seat.
Yeah.
So you need to move over to that seat.
Oh, you're saying like where I am, like you're not saying I should be in like where Greg's sitting. You're saying I should be somewhere else.
I mean, because of
he's
you
saying
popping
to move right across.
Out, yeah, to move, if you could move across here.
Yeah, you could take your headphones, but just plug them in right over there. Classic start to Sunday Karma here, organized.
It wouldn't be Sunday Karma without
as
some,
always.
It wouldn't be Sunday Karma without starting with an open that includes 10-year-old clips that make no sense anymore.
Yeah, man, I tell you, I don't know what to say, Craig.
Yeah,
they don't listen to me around here, Craig.
We need a producer as more clout. If they don't listen to Kyle.
That's true. They don't listen to me. They do not listen to me.
Who's they?
I don't necessarily know if that's true.
Wait, who's they, by the way?
I like the guy.
He's talking about Ashton
Rock. Yeah, Ashton said he was going to try to work on it for me. He said, if I have some time, I'll work on it maybe this week, this Friday. But he must have got busy on Friday.
Did you give him a deadline? Did you say we need it by this Friday?
Did you say, like, we needed it a year ago?
Hey, I tried, guys. I'm sorry I failed. Sometimes, you know, just as long as you try your best. If first you don't succeed, try again. I'll keep trying. At least
failure is just part of the road to success. Is this like a Giannis speech after the Heat series?
Yeah, but we won our championship. So now we're just trying to get back, like the Bucks after 2021. Trying to get back.
Bucks are trying to get back, and what a week it was.
7-game winning streak for the Bucks.
Tuesday and Friday were two of the best 6 wins of the year. And maybe 2 of the best 4 wins of the year, you could argue, for the Bucks.
The way that Giannis is playing right now with 4 triple-doubles over the last 5 games.
He's like averaging 15 assists a game.
Including yesterday when pretty much his playmaking ability led the Bucks to a victory. Should give Bucks fans a lot of confidence heading into the playoffs.
Should it?
I think so, absolutely.
So are you saying confidence meaning confidence that the Bucks can beat the Pacers?
The way I'm looking at it, because you know, I tend to be an eternal optimist. The first round series against the Pacers is winnable without Dame, right? I think that if Giannis continues to play at this level, and I don't see any reason why not, if Doc continues to lean into what is working right now, even if that is a lineup that includes Giannis, Bobby Portis, Gary Trent Jr.,
The lineup that they closed Tuesday with, and then I've never seen this before. On Friday night, do you guys know when Giannis came back into the game on Friday night?
End of the third quarter.
A minute and a half to go in the third quarter.
So he didn't play most of the third quarter?
When he came in, he played most of it, but he came back in with a minute 30 to go in the third quarter. On the court at that time with him was Sakuda, which is KPJ is that nickname.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
He don't go by Scoot. He wants to be Sakuta.
All right.
Sakuta, AJ Green, Gary Trent, and Bobby Portis. They were on the court with him with a minute 30 to go in the third quarter.
Uh-huh.
The Bucks did not make another substitution until Torian Prince came in the game with 20 seconds to go
in
the game.
Did he come for AJ Green at that point?
He came in for Gary Trent to inbound the ball. He came in to inbound the ball with 20 seconds. So the Bucks did not make a substitution for over a quarter. And for the second consecutive meaningful closeout clutch minute game, the Bucks played Giannis with four bench players for the fourth quarter, which I've never seen before. I've never seen a team play their star with four bench players two consecutive games for an entire fourth quarter in meaningful action.
But, and I'll give some credit to Eric Name here because that's where I got the stat from. And he got it from cleaning the glass. Small sample size, but that unit right now has been averaging 151 points per 100 possessions and holding opponents to 96 points per 100 possessions.
Wait, give that again.
That lineup right there, because I believe they even closed out the first quarter yesterday into the second quarter. Like they were heavily featured. 151 points per 100 possessions.
They score,
holding opponents to 96 points per 100 possessions.
They can't have used it that much this year.
Net rating of plus 54 in the last three games. This is just the last three games.
Okay,
it's a small sample size.
Okay, in the three games.
But the point is when you have a lineup where everybody can shoot, and Giannis is as dominant both in scoring and playmaking as he's been, it makes it really difficult on the defense. And I think going into a series,
and kind of everyone can switch defensively, right? Like, because you were talking about the offensive side, which is really good, but as impressive as the 150 net rating offensive, if you were, I mean, under 100, giving up less than 1 point per possession would be far and away the best defense in the NBA over 82 games, which they did over just three games.
Absolutely. And obviously offense and defense are very tied in
together. Now, guys are saying confidence. I'm just pulling up right now.
Yep.
To win the first series, the Indiana Pacers are minus 175. The Bucks are plus 145. I'm not going to talk about gambling related to the Milwaukee Bucks.
I will.
What I'm saying is you can talk about it. I'm just saying it means the Pacers are favored.
Yes, and I think it makes sense, right? I mean, A, they're the home team. They're going to have home court. B, I think you've got a lot of the perception out there being that the Bucks, what can they do without Dame Lillard? And yes, the Bucks took 3 of 4 in the season series from Indiana this year, but they did have Dame during those games. I don't think they need Dame to win the first series against Indiana. I think they're going to need Dame back for the second series. And based on what's going on with the blood clot, you don't know if that's going to be 1 week or 6 weeks. You have no idea, right? This is one of those unique circumstances.
And we found out last year in the playoffs, they definitely needed Giannis.
They definitely needed Giannis. Giannis has to stay healthy. If Giannis misses a single game in the first round of the series or the first round of the playoffs, my confidence is drastically diminished.
They definitely need Dame, too, in order to be successful in a playoff.
But you're saying to beat the Pacers? Because I was texting with an NBA person also, and I was like, I feel like Giannis can, when you're that good and when you're playing the way he is, I feel like that kind of player can drag a team through a round of an NBA play.
Do you think that you have enough firepower around him, but then defensively, like, can KPJ be able to help defensively? Because he's been playing well defensively against a guy like Tyrese Haliburton. Like, is he going to be able to help defensively?
I think, you know, Dame has, when he's focused, he can be a slightly plus defender, but I don't think it's on the defensive end that you're worried about what you miss with Dame. It's like, it is like on some levels why the Jrue Holiday trade happened, right? It was like, hey, this team can be defensively good enough to win, but in the postseason, you need more offense, and that's why Dame came in. So I think everyone would expect that if you're going to make an extended run, Dame Lillard would be a big part of it. But I think this team believes they can win a first-round series with or without Dame.
I think they've got the momentum right now. I think that they've got Giannis playing with his hair on fire and motivated, having not gotten out of the first round of the playoffs.
I can't even compare Giannis to anyone right now.
He is, like, who does Giannis respect to Jokic?
Who does Giannis remind you of right now, the way he's playing? Like, it's such a free, open, like, it's almost like, the playmaking on top of everything else he's doing is incredible.
Larry Bird-esque,
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't. I mean, the shooting, I wouldn't compare to Larry Bird.
I'm saying the playmaking from a forward
Magic
position.
Johnson, Magic but like, Johnson, it's like but Matt, Magic I mean, who's like a point? Yes. But Giannis is playing point forward. Right. It's seemingly. Almost like Giannis is playing like, and you'd have to go back and watch some of the old documentaries, like Magic Johnson, his rookie year when Kareem was out and Magic was playing center, but he was also playing point guard. Like, that's what Giannis is doing right now, right? He's the point center. And we haven't seen a lot of that in the NBA because, and again, all respect to Brooke, but we're talking about this closing lineup where Giannis is the point center a lot of the time. And again, all respect to Kevin Porter Jr., to Sakuda, who's playing unbelievable.
Yeah, and we're talking Bucks here, Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. Greg Scalzo, Kyle Wallace featuring Craig Carmson.
Surprise guest today.
At certain points throughout the show. All of what we're talking about, and I think the pure will from a Giannis at this point to get out of the first round, I think they're going to get through Indiana. And I think it's all going to come down to, can Dame get himself healthy? And what would that be? 3 weeks? And again, right now, we know, we heard it on Courtside with Gail Klappa, Doc Rivers talking a little bit about, you know, how the clot is still there for Dame. And for those that don't know or don't understand, see you, Craig. Maybe we'll see you a little bit later in the show. Maybe not. Who
Hopefully
knows?
We see him as Master's Day. And he loves Master's Day.
Yeah, Master Sunday.
He usually has me play the music, and then he does some things that we probably shouldn't be doing, but he's the CEO, founder and CEO, so he can do whatever he wants.
I guess so. Well, that means me and you aren't going to be doing those things.
No, I won't.
but I... You know, Doc said, like, the clot is still there. And for those that are wondering, well, what does that mean? What doesn't that mean? He can't fly with a blood clot, right? You're worried about contact. And so, ultimately, if the clot disintegrates to the point where he gets cleared, then it becomes a pretty quick, how quickly can you get him just physically tuned up to get back to that point? But Dame is running right now, like he's staying like in shape from a cardiac perspective, or cardio perspective. At what point can they get him back on the team and in the lineup? Because I think Giannis can do enough to get through the Pacers.
Yeah, I last year I know that Giannis basically was out against he was out against the Pacers.
Yep.
And then the year before the Bucks got out because Giannis hurt his tailbone the year before, and so we'll see. I guess it's all to be seen that Giannis will be able to carry the team by himself, because that's something that we just have not seen Giannis really have to do or actually do before, right? Because
we've seen it the last seven games,
the last seven games. But you know, I am a Bucks fan.
Yes.
But when you look at the teams that the Bucks beat, yeah, the Timberwolves are a team that's fighting for playoff positions, but a lot of the other teams that they beat the Pistons, who had something to play for, but a lot of these teams weren't the cream of the crop, the top teams, right? You're not talking about beating a Cleveland Cavaliers team. You're not talking about beating the Knicks team that is coming back down to earth. You're not talking about, you know, beating a Boston Celtics defending championship team. You're not even talking about beating an Indiana Pacers team that finished the season pretty strong. So I caution us that I understand Giannis can do it all, but can those around him elevate his game, their game in the playoffs? Because Giannis can't do this by himself, right? He has 15 assists because people are scoring, right? You need people not to go cold. You need people to step up. Because if they do, then yeah, we can cook. But y'all thinking about the first round, I'm thinking about championships, and we got to have Dame back.
But that's the thing, is you don't know when he's going to be back. Like, with the latest—
I'm not even counting on
the latest we've got it is it could be 1 week and it could be 6 weeks. Like, that's the unknown nature of this. It is not a, hey, I've got a sprained ankle that's 2 to 4 weeks, or I tweaked this. And so we kind of have, it's so dependent on something that is largely out of everybody's control. But those that seven-game winning streak, it gives me confidence against Indiana. To your point, Kyle, if it gets to a series, what would come next against Cleveland, I don't think Giannis can carry by himself this team through the first two rounds of the playoffs. You've got to get Dame back here at some point. And so
it's just so disappointing. This organization is not cursed because they won a championship. But boy, feel like you sold your soul to the devil, don't you? You win the one in 2020 where maybe or maybe not people may have had David playing basketball on the court. Giannis somehow miraculously comes back from a hyperextended knee to lead you to a championship. It just seems like whatever deal you made, we have been paying for it ever since. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. I got my championship hoodie on today.
800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. Sunday Karma, Greg Scalzo, Kyle Wallace will roll on, talk a little bit about the heartbreaking loss from the Brewers yesterday. But Jackson Churio, big bright spot. And of course, Masters Sunday as well. This is Sunday Karma.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
I said, you already know, you don't got a flow. Before rap, you don't really got dough. Before rap, you don't really see snow. In the kitchen, about to make some magic. Then blow it all in magic. Pull up in my partner in traffic. Gave it to him, it was all in plastic. All I know, I ain't trying to go to jail. Heard that close thing to hell. When it step don't make it hard to sell. When you been where I been, make it hard to fail. Cause I'm the realest.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Bucks, seven straight wins as they get ready for another matchup against the Pistons today. Kind of goofy scheduling, you know. A noon start today. All the Eastern Conference games today are being played at noon Central Time. All the West Coast games, Western Conference games are being played at 2:30 Central Time today.
I love it.
On the last day of the regular season.
I'm going to the game. I'll be able to, you know, get what I got to get done here since I have, you know, because Greg is here. Usually it's a little bit more less chaotic. And so I'll be able to edit up some stuff and take care of stuff during Jason Wilde and all that. Hey, even when Craig came in here before, it was chaotic. Sitting in the wrong seat. Hey, guys. He's sitting in the dark. Didn't even turn the lights on.
Yeah, that was interesting. I'm sitting in the producer's booth with Kyle talking to him. Next thing I know, Craig pops in. The lights are off. And he's just sitting down in the wrong place and, you know, trying to figure it all out.
In the complete darkness. I'm like, come on now. So, hey. But no, so hopefully I can get to the Bucks game. I'm hoping to get there by 12:25 today.
Oh, you could do that.
Yeah, to enjoy the game, get all my stuff done. So I'm excited. I'm excited for this 12 o'clock game. I like it.
800-990-3776. Again, Bucks locked in with the 5 seed. They'll be taking on the Pacers in the first round of the NBA playoffs. I'm confident that all they need is a healthy Giannis to get through this first round of the playoffs. And then you just got to hope, cross your fingers, knock on wood, say a prayer, whatever you do, that Dame Lillard is going to be back there to take on what is very likely to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. Plus, you've got a little bit of time during this play-in tournament. Every day matters to hope that Dame can get back quicker.
You don't believe he's coming back, do you?
I think Dame can get back for the second round. But again, it's not like anything Dame can do. It's how well can the medicine work to break the blood clot down.
He had a blood clot. I mean, it was in a different position. And so you got Wimby, who season they shut him down, I'm sure because he's a franchise player. Chris Bosh, he retired because of multiple blood clots. Like,
where is the blood clot? You know, like a lot of times that creates at what, like how dangerous.
Are you a medical doctor too?
I mean, I looked it up.
You're telling me before all the, you know, he's been doing your cardio and he's been, you know, and the blood
he's
clot
been
is
running.
Reducing. Running and playing basketball, they run miles on the court.
Things. Agreed. They have to make sure that the blood clot is completely gone before A, he can get on a plane, B, he could potentially see any contact. And you don't know. It could take 1 week. It could take 6 weeks. That's what Tim Legler heard from the Bucks as he got ready for his call yesterday on the Bucks Pistons broadcast on ESPN Radio. And so I do think that there is the potential for him to be back. And if he's back, that is a massive game changer. Speaking of game changers, that's what Jackson Churio has been so far through this young season for the Milwaukee Brewers. A heartbreaking loss last night as the Brewers entered the ninth inning up 4-0 against the Diamondbacks, and they ended up giving up 5 runs to blow it, to lose that game, to fall to 8-7. But if you remember, Kyle, a week ago we were sitting here on Sunday Karma, and Craig Karmazin was cackling, saying, "You think that the Brewers could be at 500 by the end of the month with where
That's
this
right.
pitching lineup
That's
is?"
True.
And next thing you know, the Brewers a week later are sitting at 8-7, making some moves. Credit to Matt Arnold,
Quinn Prister.
Yeah, there you go. To get some help.
Oh, you probably know him, huh? You're Red Sox fan.
I mean, I don't know him personally, but yes, he came from the Red Sox, and he's going to join the starting rotation.
Oh, he did?
He did, yes, for the Brewers. And Matt Arnold's just trying to bolster it. But I look at a guy like Jackson Chourio right now, who is on a 14-game hit streak, right? Everybody remembers that first day, that first game, opening day against the Yankees. He goes 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. People are a little bit worried. He's on a 14-game hit streak, hit another home run yesterday, get himself to 5 home runs on the year, batting .313 with an OPS of .966. That is an MVP candidate right there in Jackson Chourio.
That's a phenom, Greg. He's 21 years old.
Unbelievable.
That's a phenom.
Unbelievable. And that's what gets me excited about this Brewers team. I want to ask you, Kyle, on the eve of you getting a Brazilian wax with your buddy Ben Bruss tomorrow, I want to ask you.
If he gets me into so much stuff. You didn't tell me he would get me into jumping in Lake Michigan, this, spending my money on gambling. I've lost so much money with him.
That I could have told you was going to happen.
Hundreds of dollars.
That I could have told hundreds you was going to happen. You got to be smarter on the punishments and the gags.
Oh, you say no. Well, you say no. It's, come on, like, come. We got to do it. We got to do it.
You got to get him to do those things and you to be on the sideline. That's what I was able to do.
I'm going
to
work on that.
But I want to know, like, is he the next MVP we have in Wisconsin? Because when you look at the last, let's even cut it to the last 7-8 years, right? You had Aaron Rodgers, you had Christian Yelich win the MVP in 2018. You had Giannis in 19 and 20. You had Rodgers in 20 and 21. That's an incredible run of MVPs in the state of Wisconsin. It's something I don't think was always truly appreciated or acknowledged or grasped in terms of like the idea that in the three major sports within the span of what is that, 18 through 21, you're talking about 3 years, you had 5 MVPs. Now you're looking at it and saying, well, Packers land, when can Jordan Love get to that MVP status, right? NBA, Giannis should be more in the MVP conversation. We kind of hit that last segment with Craig. He'll get back there. MLB, Jackson Chourio at 21 years old is doing things that are MVP-like. Is he the next Wisconsin MVP, or do you see Giannis getting one more, or do you see Jordan Love being that next guy?
Unfortunately, I don't see Giannis getting one more. I think it's probably past it, right?
Giannis,
really? Giannis got his two, unless Giannis and the Bucks have, because the MVP isn't just an individual award, it is a team award as well. Like your team, the reason why Shea's probably going to win this year, or Shy, however people want to say it, but I say Shea. It's because his team is the number one seed in the Western Conference and one of the best teams in the NBA this year. He balled, I think he averaged 32 points per game, had like a streak of 70 games, so having 20 points plus 20 points per game more than 74 times this year, something like that, or in a row. Like he's balling. He's balling. But the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis is balling, but he's balling on a team that's fighting for a 5 seed. Right? They're just not gonna get it. Even Jokic this year, he's not gonna win it. He's not gonna win it because his team isn't on the top. So I don't see the Milwaukee Bucks organization getting back to being on top with a 1 seed based off the fact that we're getting older. We're depending on Damian Lillard right now, who is 34 years old. He'll be 35 this summer. He ain't gonna get no better. You know what I'm saying? Like he's only gonna get older. So this team isn't trending in the right direction, which overall helps Giannis, regardless if he scores 30 points for a mid to bad team, nobody's gonna win an MVP for that. So that's why I think it can't be Giannis.
I would challenge you on the team not trending in the right direction. I know everything that you're saying. I do think that there is the potential for history to look back and say, you know what, as bad as in a vacuum the trade might look that sent Chris Middleton to Washington and brought Kyle Kuzma back to Milwaukee.
It's only bad if AJ Johnson turns out to be a really good basketball player.
That's fair. It got them some flexibility after this season. Mm-hmm. And if Giannis continues to play the way he's playing – and Dame continues to be, the player that he is, which looking at what Steph Curry is able to do at this point in his career, right, who's older than Dame, gives me confidence that Dame, the way he plays, can continue to be an offensive difference maker. They might have the flexibility, and when you talk about Sekuda, right, and how
he just dropped that like people knew this kid's name, KPJ.
Yeah, yes.
Kevin Porter Jr.
Kevin Porter Jr.
I should just say his full name.
That is fair.
But we know who he is. He's only been here 2 months.
And he's gone through 3 nicknames. It gives me confidence that they might be able to finagle things around to be able to continue to build the right things around Giannis and Dame to continue to be a contender. With the way that Giannis is performing heading into, what, he's 30 years old?
He is 30.
A 30-year-old season, like, I still think he's got an MVP left in him. I do. But I still think Jackson Chourio's got more. I think Chourio is going to be the next MVP in the state of Wisconsin before Jordan Love, before Giannis gets another one. I think Jackson, maybe not this year, but whenever Shohei Ohtani doesn't win an MVP over the next 3-4 years, I think Jackson Chourio is going to be that guy.
No, I'm right there with you. I definitely think that Jackson is something special, and he's already trending in a direction where he's just going to be a superstar, right? And superstars, typically, if he continues on the path that he's going on, they get the accolades, right? He's going to win himself an MVP, and he's going to be in a conversation where they're going to be talking about how great he is and his absolute greatness. And if the Milwaukee Brewers go on to win a World Series, which is our hope here at ESPN Wisconsin and everybody here in the state of Wisconsin as well, is he's definitely going to get MVP. But what he's doing is extremely special to be this young. So I'm right there with you. Only way that Jordan Love wins the MVP before Chourio is if Jordan Love all of a sudden mimics and emulates Aaron Rodgers, right? And right now, how much I do love Jordan Love, he needs to stay healthy. We need to be able to see it consistently over a full 18-week schedule, 17-game schedule.
And I think that offense has to figure out what it is. Like, I don't even put it all on Jordan Love. I think right now, you came into a year last year where the Packers said, okay, let's figure out of these four guys who all could be your number one, who the number one is. And when you don't have defined roles on a team, it's kind of difficult for the quarterback, for the entire offense, to know exactly how it's supposed to operate. And heading into this year, if you were to say, who is the number one target, you still don't really know who it is. And you're down Christian Watson. And is it Romeo Doubs? Or is it Jaden Reed? And what is Dontavian Wicks? And where does Tucker Kraft
fit in? We haven't had a number one option since we traded Tay Adams.
Correct.
That's not great.
Not
great. A championship formula.
And it's not a formula, especially for Jordan Love to be able to win an MVP. It feels like they're building this offense more around Josh Jacobs than they are Jordan Love right now. And maybe that helps them win games in the regular season. I don't know if it helps them win a Super Bowl. And I certainly don't think it helps Jordan Love.
They'll be moving people next year running the ball. I'm going to tell you that now.
Yeah, they could be a great running team.
They're going to be cracking skulls with Banks, Jenkins, and me, even Sean Ryan. I like Sean Ryan a little bit more than Jordan Morgan, because I haven't seen him. Oh, they're going to be moving people.
Great, but you're still not going to be the same running team that the Eagles are. So what are you going for? You know what I mean? Like, you're still not going to be Saquon and Jalen Hurts in the offensive line they have in Philly. They
tried to stop the tush push.
they're pushing a lot of internal NFL legislation to stop that for sure. We'll keep talking NFL. We'll keep talking Packers with the best there is. You hear them every week, 9 to noon on Wilde and Tausch. It is Jason Wilde. He joins us next on Sunday Karma. This is ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
We be throwing money in a spiral. Every time the girl hear my song, yeah, turn her right into my hole. She shake her do the eye roll. Got a skinny thong like a tightrope. I be blowing up like some pyro. Coupe 150, call it Cairo. If she left with me, she the right one. Man, she riding me like a BMX. Man, she said the D is for dyno. I got two horns like a rhino. No way you could buy it, but I brought a mansion with a slide door. Yes, I opened up the slide door, so you can hear it.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. Kyle Wallace, Greg Scalzo hanging with you. 800-990-3776, the number to get into the show. Excited to talk to Jason Wilde. You hear him every week alongside Packer Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher. I'm Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. You get his content at channel3000.com as well. Jason, thank you for joining us here this morning.
Everybody abandoned you except Kyle?
Yes, pretty much. Alex Strofe has something up at his old college radio station in Stevens Point.
He's living
in
the past too much.
Craig Karmazin is running back and forth between here at the Gruber Law Offices, one call, That's All Studios at the 3rd Street Market Hall, and the Baird Center, where his daughter is performing its dance competition. So you've got myself and Kyle Wallace here with you.
I like the priority by Craig, though. That's good. Better to go see her compete than to talk to me. I'm 100% in support of that.
I think we all are. Jason, we are, what, 11 days away from the start of the NFL draft there in Green Bay. You obviously live in Green Bay. You cover the Packers each and every day. But even outside of Packers land, like, what is... Where are we right now being a Green Bay resident with everything happening? Like, what's the feel? What's the vibe going on? And do you think the city of Green Bay and the state of Wisconsin's ready for what's going to hit in less than 2 weeks?
I think so. I think, first of all, the NFL takes over this project. So they've got people that have put on Super Bowls, that have put on international games, that have put on the draft since it started moving around, starting with Chicago in 2015. So they know what they're doing. And so they have kind of a template that they follow that is applicable with adjustments to every city that they go to. So, you know, the draft theater is continuing to be built. They know the timeline on which they need to do it. It is, the roof is up, so the progress is being made. They're building it out. Out of Oneida Street toward Lambeau Field. And it's, you know, it's inconvenient if you live in that area, but it really hasn't overwhelmed our tiny little town at all. Like, obviously they've kind of got it, you know, in a contained area. They're calling it the draft campus. And I think that's a good phrase, because if you think about, you know, like a small college, like St. Norbert, it's all contained in one area. It's not like the University of Wisconsin Madison, but I think it's been able to be worked on and made progress without it being an interruption for residents. The biggest question I have is just how many people are going to descend upon Green Bay, Wisconsin, because as we've been told by organizers, the 3-day attendance in Detroit last year was 770,000 people. They are anticipating 250,000 here in Green Bay. They're expecting a lot of people to commute, to drive back and forth from Madison or Milwaukee or wherever it might be, because we don't have enough hotel space here for a lot of people to just stay here all 3 days. So I'm really eager to see just how they do attendance-wise. The NFL basically has taken the approach of, we want it to be about the quality, not quantity, of experience. And I want to see how that works out.
Yeah, I mean, right now, and I know you're not supposed to trust weather forecasts outside of the 48-hour window, but right now it's got Green Bay during the draft at about 60 and sunny. And I think if it's 60 and sunny in Green Bay, Jason, you're going to get a lot more than 250,000 people there. I think you're going to get, you know, a lot bigger than what you'd expect from a St. Norbert's college, because so many folks are just going to be excited to walk around, check out the draft experience. We know Wisconsinites, right? If you give them a nice day in April and say, hey, there's something cool going on around the NFL. Oh, and you can pick up a beverage and walk around for, you know, for $10 and just see things, you're going to get people descending upon Green Bay at massive numbers, I think. But I think Packers fans, while they care about what's happening in Green Bay for the draft, care a lot more about what the Packers are actually going to do. Field Yates, in his latest mock draft, had Michael Williams, the edge rusher from Georgia, going to the Packers at 23. You wrote something on Channel 3000 about Lucas Van Ness and how important this year is going to be for him in year three. Is that a concern for the Packers defensively, of what that pass rush looks like, given that they spent so much time in zone last year and that might not be their preference because they might just have to do it because they don't have enough of a pass rush?
Yeah, one of their biggest priorities is to get better at having a successful, productive pass rush with only four guys. Jeff Hafley does not want to go through another season where he's having to manufacture pressure, whether it's with simulated pressure where you still send four, but it's three linemen and someone that the offense isn't expecting and a lineman drops out. Or if it's blitzing, sending five, sending six. He doesn't want to do that anymore. He believes that if you can get pressure with four, which we saw Philadelphia do in the Super Bowl and just absolutely wreck the Chiefs' game plan, that it makes life easier for your defense. And one of the things that Matt LaFleur has raved about that Jeff Hafley did last year was that he found a way to create pressure even with a defensive line that wasn't good enough. And they fired their defensive line coach. Goody can say till he's blue in the face that they have what they need in terms of defensive linemen. But what the hell is he supposed to say? He didn't add one. He let T.J. Slayton leave in free agency. He's not going to get up there and say, yeah, we got to get new guys because these guys stink. Or I shouldn't have paid Rashawn Gary. He ain't good enough. I shouldn't have pick swapped with the Jets on that Rodgers trade. I should have just taken Will McDonald, who grew up in Milwaukee, played at Iowa State, and had 10.5 sacks for the Jets last year, which is more than the – there you go. Started out at Pulaski High School, I think, Kyle, a city school. And
then transferred over to the suburbs.
And then transferred over, I think, to Waukesha North, maybe. But, look, he was extremely productive as the 15th pick. He was really good for the Jets last year. My point is that, you know, I don't see them shying away from an edge rusher at 23 just because they've said nice things about Lucas Van Ness and what they've got from a pass rush standpoint. You would argue that with the investments they've made with Devontae Wyatt, with Rashawn Gary, with Lucas Van Ness, that the idea of going another defensive lineman at 23 would indicate they have not done well with first-round picks that are defensive linemen or edge rushers.
Jason, so with that, does that give you any trust that Goody would actually finally get it right at the edge in the first round, drafting somebody at that position?
Yeah, I always look at drafts as, I know it's easy to say, okay, here's his 7 drafts, here's what it looks like he's good at, here's what he's not. I still think that these are year-by-year things, and every player is different, right? Like, you know, you could argue that initially he didn't know what the hell he was doing drafting wide receivers, right? I mean, you look at the guys that he drafted in 18, then Amari Rodgers wasn't very good, right? And then, you know, how were you looking at his wide receiver draft picks a year ago at this time? You were looking going, well, I don't need, and he would agree with you, by the way. He was looking going, oh, well, we don't need to add more wide receivers. We drafted 3 in each of the previous 2 drafts. He didn't draft a wide receiver last year. And now we're sitting here a year later, and this is how the league changes and your perception of his picks change. We went from thinking, oh, look at this. He got Jaden Reed as a stud, led them in receiving in 2023. He got Dontavion Wicks, who really came on in the second half and looks like he could be like Devontae Adams-esque. Well, now neither one of those guys made the jump last season, and now we're sitting there going, oh, maybe they should draft the Mecca Ibuka in the first round. So, again, everything is so fluid that I don't want to say, oh, this guy can't draft defensive linemen. I will say this, and I've been saying it a lot. This is a critical year for a lot of people. And 2 guys that were first-round picks in 2022 are on that list. Quay Walker, who I saw Pro Football Focus mentioning as a possible trade candidate, which had not crossed my mind, frankly. Because obviously the 50-year option number is going to be a big one. I don't believe that. I think they really think Quay Walker and Edger and Cooper together could be a dynamic duo. But both he and Devontae Wyatt, this is a very critical year for both of them. And we've talked a lot about that being the case for Goody and LaFleur and Love, all those guys. I'm so eager for this season to start and to see what this team does, because This is, I don't want to call it make or break, but I think this is a year where we really find out about a lot of guys that are entering contract years or entering years where you want to say, okay, I want to be able to say definitively, this guy's very, very good, he's just okay, or he's not good enough and he needs to be replaced.
You mentioned it before, Jason. Craig Karmazin just walked back into the Gruber Law Office. All studios. We're going to take a quick break.
Thank you.
And I want to come back and talk a little bit about the pass catchers and what that looks like.
See, because when I'm here,
Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin.
Kyle tried to just jump right to break right
there. Wait, I thought I was doing a live read for Gruber. You told me 10 seconds
I'm
ago.
Just, you know, I'm just so nervous about you, Craig. You start talking, you ask a question. But wow. Craig, I'm sorry.
How long have you guys been working together? Where's the level of trust between host and producer right now?
So am I not supposed to be doing the live read?
No, you always, you know what? I apologize because One Call That's All can take over whenever because they're always so helpful for anybody.
I mean, that's the thing about Gruber Law Offices. Like, there's other firms out there and you're like, I hear their name, but are they really like in this community? I was literally just at a dance competition across the street. There was a Gruber there. That's right. Nationally recognized, but founded in this community, solely working for people in this community. That's the beauty of Gruber Law Offices. One Call That's All is a commitment to this community. It's a commitment from their team to you. That's why tens of thousands of Wisconsinites have been helped by Gruber Law Offices. So if you're ever injured, if a loved one's ever injured, you can focus on yourself because Gruber Law Offices has been through it and they will take care of you. That's why I always recommend if someone's ever injured, it's One Call, That's All with Gruber Law Offices.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Josie's on a vacation for-
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Hit us on the Carbless talk and text line if you would join Jason Wilde and I in being excited about a 2000 Badger Final Four reunion. Because Jason, during the break, I was saying to Greg, we're doing this unbelievable 10-year reunion at the Orpheum for the 2015 team, and tickets are available now. You go to like UWFinalFourTickets.org.net.something. No, I don't know what it is.
UWHoops2015.com.
Wow. Thanks, Jason. UWHoops2015.com. Does anyone own UWHoops2000.com?
Nobody does. I just checked it. Yes.
Really? It is available.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason, you and I would be way more excited. Not to say that this isn't going to be unbelievable, which I'm so jacked about, but I feel like that 2000 team for us is like our team.
It is. Evan Cohen in the same group.
Yeah, Evan Cohen would be excited. He'd be there. Hit us on the talk and text line if you want to get the 2000 squad together for a reunion.
Of course, the Carbless talk and text line, 800-990-3776. This is Sunday Karma. Craig Karmazin, Greg Scalzo, Kyle Wallace, joined by Jason Wilde. Jason, feel free to just keep talking 2000 Badgers if you'd like, but I did want to ask about
my favorite part of the season was when Dick Bennett called Mike Kelly selfish because he was trying to get too many steals. I've literally never heard a player be called selfish because he got in foul trouble like once or maybe it was twice. And he was like, oh, I think he's a little selfish. He's thinking about that steals record.
Craig, I'm so glad you're back.
Like, Kyle, I mean, have you ever heard a coach
that seems somewhat facetious right there?
No, Kyle's not happy I'm back.
No,
but,
I'm happy.
That's what I'm saying.
I like the energy. You know what's fun? I told Greg, I was like, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to the Bucks game, so, you know, Jason comes on, I'll be able to do some things. Craig is here. I'm back in it, baby.
Jason, do you remember that? Dick Bennett calling Mike Kelly out, and then the team never lost after that, except for against Michigan State every time they played them.
I was talking to Mike Kelly a couple weeks ago, actually, and I had forgotten that story until you brought it up. But yes, I do remember it now. But yes, sign me up. I don't know where you're planning on. Can we pull off two such events so close together?
I think this one could be at my house. Maybe we could do this one in my backyard. We don't need the Orpheum for this one. Let's just do it in my backyard.
I'll be there.
It can be an intimate night with the 2000 Badgers Final Four.
Well, let's check the Carbless talk and text line. How many people have RSVP'd in for our 2000 Badger basketball reunion?
Well, let me read the number again because right now we're sitting at zero. 800-990-3776.
Oh, we don't even need the backyard. We can do it in the kitchen.
Yeah.
We can just do it in the kitchen.
Yes. It could really just be Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike, Jason Wilde of Wilde and Tausch, Craig Karmazin of Sunday Karma.
And Mark Vershaw and Mo Linton.
Yes.
Like, it'll be great.
And the 2000
John
Badger
Bryant
Final Four.
Not going to show up. Tom Bryant's going to be like, no, too small of a crowd for me.
I think we'll get Kowski and Kelly and, this is going
to
be huge. I mean,
you guys could just go to dinner together. Like, you all know each other. Like, the stories.
No, I think the thing is, Ben's team that went to the Final Four and then the team after that actually went to the national championship, that team is classic, like, great. But this team that Craig is talking about and that Willie is talking about
is a 30 for 30.
I mean, you're talking about a basketball program that as a kid, I didn't watch Badgers basketball until that year. My mom, I remember she came home with like a Wisconsin shirt that I think she got from a store, not an official one, but she got a W shirt because that was the tournament run. Like, just like when Ron Dane brought me into Badger football.
Why you got to play your mom like that? But Roy Boone, I mean, like, think about
it. All right. Like, so I get it, right? And I don't mean to be disrespectful to the 2000 Final Four squad. It also set a stereotype of Wisconsin being the most boring brand of basketball that they couldn't shake until the 2015 team. Like, even when they were great offensively with Jordan Taylor and when they were good offensively with, John Lohr.
Yeah, you know what?
Like,
the Pistons had a reputation, too. You think you want to take back their championship?
The Pistons won the championship.
I'm saying the Badgers went to the Final Four.
They did go to the Final Four.
What is the highest level that anyone played at from that Final Four team? Like, this is, it's a 30 for 30.
What you're saying is the story's great, but, like, ultimately, I don't know how excited people are to see just, like, Mike Kelly and Andy Kowski and these guys who, like, with all due respect,
okay, let's
they're great. It's a great story.
Let's go to the Carbless text line and see how excited people are.
Sam chimes in and says, 2000 was special. All old Metro Conference. Kelly from Pius, Kowski from Dominican, and Burke Emperor from Marquette.
See? People are excited. The talking text line is ablaze, Wildy. 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. Don't let Scalzo, who thinks Wisconsin sports started in 2010, you wouldn't have any of this if it weren't for these guys.
It's akin to having like a conversation about like a 30 for 30 from like these old high school. It's like talking about great high school runs on a collegiate level. And I'm not even taking it away. It makes the special, the story that much more special. I just don't know how many kids nowadays are like, man, I'm so excited. Like, Andy Kowski got me into Badger basketball.
I mean, he's one of the few people, I believe, who got people into basketball and into designing overpasses and road systems. Yeah, yes. I mean, the guy built the guy like shut down Stromile Swift in the NCAA tournament and built the Marquette interchange. Like, that doesn't happen. All right, give me another a text from the Tug and text
there are
line.
No text from the Carlos Tug and text.
What's going on here?
All right, so I just put a poll up on. I'm a bad producer, but I tried my best. On YouTube, make sure you go to ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
I just put up a poll, and the poll says, I'm sorry, I can't really read from this.
Wait, we're not trying to, this isn't hot take, it's not either or.
Which Badgers NCAA Final Four team means more to Badgers basketball?
Okay.
2000, 2014, 2015, or 1941?
Okay, I like it.
I mean, if we can get an event with the 1941 championship team, that feels like that could play.
I'm going to tell you, most of them are 6 feet under.
Okay. Do we have anyone left?
I think the 2000 team would run the 41 team out of the building. That's all I'm saying.
Probably. There might be some high school teams around here.
If the 2015 Badger Final Four team took on the 2000
Badger
Final Four team.
We don't talk errors in bad. No, no one could score on Mike Kelly.
Okay.
Mike Kelly will shut down Sam Decker right now. Don't even mess with that. All right, there's more text. I could tell.
Luis chimes in and said, I'd rather see an 03 MU Marquette Final Four reunion than the 2000.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, but like, what are we're not going to do a 20. Hey, happy 22nd anniversary.
What if we did a combined?
Let's wait until 2028.
But then it just feels like we're grasping to get Dwayne Wade to something. I feel like then it's like, oh, you're trying to use Dwayne Wade's clout.
Like, I feel like Dwayne Wade will be happy to come by.
Okay.
Chad chimes in and says, morning, fellas. Next Sunday, Where Are They Now show. Interview them and see what they are doing. That's from Chad in the 608.
Craig, you're here. Maybe somebody can get somebody to call in.
Yeah, you never know.
You can do that. Yeah, we can do that.
For our segment, Jason, you know how great our... Oh, go ahead, Jason. They done hijacked your segment. It's 11 o'clock.
No, it's fine. I love this. I do think it's important as someone who was at the university in 1993 when the Badger football team went to the Rose Bowl, and in 1994 when Stu Jackson and Tracy Webster and Michael Finley and Rashard Griffith and Howard Moore went to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 47 years. The difference with the 2000 Final Four team and with those basketball and football teams that I just mentioned is that they did something that felt like it was impossible at Wisconsin, right? The idea of a Badger basketball team going to the Final Four in 2000, given the track record of the program, it was unimaginable. And frankly, when the 2014 team made the Final Four and then the 15 team made the national championship, I did have that feeling in 15. That's why there's a neat thing that we're doing at the Orpheum, uwhoops2015.com for tickets, is that the idea, you were excited that the 2000 team made it to the Final Four, but I'm not sure you were thinking the Badgers are going to win the national title, just if we're being honest. Whereas that Wisconsin team that we're celebrating the 10-year anniversary of had a 9-point second half lead in the championship game. Like, those are things that I just have a ton of admiration and respect for teams that do things that were thought to be impossible. And all those teams that I just mentioned qualify in that department.
I will say, if the 2000 team didn't run into Michigan State, they may have won the national championship. Michigan State just knew how to play against them.
The story is better. I just don't think that the live event with that team is going to pop. Is
all right. What do we got on the on the talk text line about this team right now?
A lot of 40 and 50 year old dudes that would be happy to buy tickets, though. They've got a lot of discretionary income.
Charles chimes in and says, I would watch the 30 for 30, but I think it would be a local thing. Most people who aren't local wouldn't care. I would definitely watch it, though.
Nice. Kyle, what's the voting going on YouTube right now? What percentages?
On YouTube, with the question of which Badgers NCAA Final Four team means more to Badgers basketball, it is the 2000 team with 50% of the vote, followed by the 2015 team with 33%, followed by the 2014 team with 17%, and somehow the only team to win a national championship in Wisconsin Badgers basketball history is right now with a donut with zero votes. Crazy!
Not a lot of momentum, I guess, people felt from that 41 team. But Greg's in for the 41 reunion.
I would love the 41 reunion.
Can you imagine 100 years from now?
That'd be really cool.
Somebody just thinking the 2015 team was pointless, or the 2000 team was pointless? Imagine.
It's not pointless.
In 2080, they're going to be like, well, that 2000 team, what, are they still alive today?
I mean, Kyle, they didn't have to play against any brothers.
This going to have the 2000 team, they didn't have none. They played against, I'm just kidding. They had a couple.
I'm just kidding.
They lost to a group of brothers, the Flintstones, right?
Yep. And they had brothers. Come on now.
I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate the time. We'll be back more. We didn't talk any Packers in this last segment. We could talk about pass catchers next week. That'll still hold.
Yeah. No, I don't think anything's going to change dramatically between this week and next week.
No. It will, though, on the Final Four conversation.
Yes, so, yes, that will change.
I'm glad we hit that today.
Thanks, Jason.
1941 all the way. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
More Sunday Karma coming up next across ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.